Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Damage Report. Hopefully, a very standard stock, run of the mill, functioning episode of The Damage Report. That's what we're shooting for today, okay? We don't need to set the expectations any higher than that, considering what's been going on this week. With that bar being buried deep below the ground, I now give you Brett Ehrlich.
Brett, how's it going? Oh my gosh, I hear he's good. Yes. His mom is always saying nice things to me.
Can I just mention, so we're having some sort of audio desync issue on Twitch.
It'll be fine. It'll catch up.
Didn't hit the bar. Anyway, someone will figure it out. I want to briefly say, Brett, just because you did one of your voices right there, I was watching a YouTube video and there's a gentleman who does the videos. And at the end of his little thing, it's these scripted videos they make, he did a thing that so could have been you. And I don't know if I should send it to you. I feel like you're gonna be mad whether it's good or not.
Yeah, no one likes that.
No one likes that.
I once told one friend that another guy reminded me of him, and then he met that guy and he was just so mad at me. No one's like perfect, because either the answer is no, how dare you think that horrible person is like me, mm-hmm. or yes, now you're just replacing me and I don't have a lane.
Well, I don't think you guys are a replacement unless you start doing board game reviews. But anyway, okay, I will not burden you with that.
You think I'm like someone who would do board game reviews, John?
Yeah, I think that's high praise, actually. Okay, but with that, we're gonna get all of our continuing tech problems finished. What I can say is that while the sound of my voice on my mouth might not match up, the news will match up with your expectations. For something interesting to talk about on a Friday, we've got the passage of Build Back Better. We've got the speech that would not end. We've got a whole bunch of other stuff too. A lot of awful people. And we're gonna close out the episode, by the way, with our garbage people. Brett and I have, I know this week who's to say that we have very different garbage people. I will just say that.
John's changed. John's come around on my years long well held position.
No, don't.
Vindication, I know what you're gonna say. Is hold mine.
Maybe.
All of me.
With that.
Was please smarter like than all of you.
Those buttons probably won't work. I mean, why would they? But for now, we're gonna pretend that they will as we launch into our first story with this video.
We're going to the Senate.
We're gonna build back better.
So there you have Representative Ilhan Omar and the bill from those old, you know, videos from the 50s or whatever, celebrating the passage of Build Back Better, just in the House. Let's be clear, just in the House. But it did pass this morning, Brett Ehrlich. What do you think?
You know, I always have that question whenever I see someone in the news. And when a lot of people see on the right, when they see Ilhan Omar, they've been asking, oh, is she a terrorist? They've been completely terrible about that. That's the one burning question they have. It is horrible. It is ignorant. It is hateful. For me, the question I have about Ilhan Omar and everyone that I ever see on camera is when they do a little dance, what is that little dance? And Ilhan starts out as like an actual dance, like the twist, but she is obviously like has been around kids, specifically babies. And you know, yes, that's the case when their palms open up. Her palms open up and she's like, you know, if you're happy and you know it, she's about to clap her hands. So I'm glad to see that. That was a delightful little dance from Representative Ilhan Omar.
The bill. How did you like the bill's dancing?
The bill's dancing was he's working with what he's got. And as you said, he's old. He's from the Schoolhouse Rock era, and that allows us to transition to the process of when a bill becomes a law. Now it goes from the House, where they have okayed it, to the Senate, where Joe Biden has promised in the past, and that promise has been relayed to us by our champions that make us hopeful, if ever, that it will be delivered in the Senate. Now, will it be delivered in the way that it was passed by the House, where it's been brought down trillions upon trillions of dollars over a decade to something much smaller, like literally 1/6 of what we thought it was, maybe 1/4. I don't know what happens then, but if so, this is a moment where we can just, if you're a cynical person, you'll say it won't happen. If you're a hopeful person, you'll think maybe it will happen. But even if you're that hopeful person, you have to, you kind of put out of your mind the knowledge that what you wanted originally, that was wildly popular among the voting electorate, that's not going to be in there.
Yes, and would overall be much more popular if they would stop removing the parts that were popular. But yeah, there's a lot of territory if you want to be cynical. First of all, that it could just not pass at all. Or that if it passes, what will be left of it? And we will be doing weeks of probably that as some of the worst people in the country in positions of power start to influence this. But we do also want to talk about what is in it. So what do we actually have? First of all, by the way, it passed 220 to 213. No Republicans supported it. They don't support any of that. Or they just know that if they vote for it, then Trump will make it his dying wish to destroy their political career or whatever. But all this stuff, no matter how popular, no matter how needed, not a single one of them supported it. So let's be clear about that. We will criticize people like Manchin and Sinema who also try to strip these things away. But we're also not forgetting that like no Republicans won any of it. So just bear that in mind. However, let's go. I'm going to skip ahead one graphic to this little chart. It's going to show you what made it in and how big it is. A few different categories of spending for families. Almost $500 billion allocated to the climate. You have healthcare spending, you have housing and immigration, other spending as well. And you can also see all of the money that's intended to help pay for it. So we're not going to do the thing where we try to figure out at any given minute how many billions are going to what. Like we've done that many times. But we will say that in the end, it included things like universal pre-kindergarten, generous subsidies for childcare that extend well into the middle class, expanded financial aid for college, but not, you know, not free public college or free community college. Let's be clear about that. Hundreds of billions of dollars in housing support, home and community care for older Americans, a new hearing benefit for Medicare, and price controls for prescription drugs. So you got the hearing, not the dental and eyes, which they wanted. I guess hopefully your ears are the problem part because that's what they're going to protect. But also on those prescription drugs, every bit of this was going to be better. On the prescription drugs, this is not they can negotiate on everything. It's we've selected, I think, 10. But I will say there are obviously people who, for instance, if you just take insulin, one of the greatest examples of something that should effectively be almost free that instead costs a lot of money. There are people who pay hundreds and hundreds, if not more than $1,000 a month on insulin. From what I read, it is going to be capped. The monthly payment for insulin will be capped at $35, which even if there was nothing else in this bill, if you're one of the many people that is paying a ton of money on that, that's a significant improvement to your life right there. So anyway, there's more stuff too, Brett, but what do you think about what's in there?
Specifically with prescription drugs, the way that you need to, and I'm talking to generally the audience and everyone out there who is trying to get the word out. Restricting Medicare from negotiating drug prices makes drug prices higher. And Medicare is older Americans qualify for Medicare. Now, every other developed nation negotiates drug prices when they buy a bunch of drugs from pharmaceutical companies. That is a negotiation. That is basically the Costco model. We're gonna buy a lot and offer it for cheaper and we'll negotiate with you. If you keep that from happening, you're charging grandma and grandpa a lot more money for drugs. So Republicans, every single one of them wants to tax grandma for being too old. This is the party that says they're for family values. They want to tax grandma for being too old. And worse, who do they want the money to go to? They want the money to go to a bunch of fat pork and corruption within this privatized crony capitalism industry of healthcare. That's it. That's where the money's going. Yeah. And does it need to be that much money that we sink, that this government program, and by that I mean the government policy of refusing to save money for grandma and grandpa, like other countries do it all the time. And our system is twice as much. So regardless of whether it's going to the government or Blue Cross or Blue Shield or Aetna, your money, too much of your money, more of your money than the proportion of money spent by anyone in any other developed nation goes into that system.
Yeah.
And their government policy, the Republican government policy, is to tax grandma and grandpa too much and to make your daily payment into the medical industry way more than it is, twice as much as it is in other countries. And at the end of that, you're gonna die sooner because our life expectancy is shorter than theirs.
Yeah. Well, and everything that you just said is totally true. That's one of the, like there's a lot of stuff that they stripped out that is unconscionable, undefendable, which is why they don't really try to defend it. But that's one of the biggest ones where no sane person agrees with anyone who is trying to take that out. But let's also put in the context of a year and a half long period where the Republicans who stand for nothing except ever continuing profits for these large corporations have tried to be like, hey, we're against big pharma because we don't want the mandates and we don't like the vaccine. Like they have picked that up to pretend that for once they're opposed to the interests of a major industry. But that doesn't have anything to do with that. This would have theoretically been a threat to this industry. And of course, every single one of them opposes it. So I'm sure it was fun for them to put on a costume of someone who was willing to stand up to corporations. But when it really comes down to it, they're very clear where they stand. So
there's 10 drugs. 10 drugs made the cut. Every drug that didn't make the cut is Kyrsten Sinema. And all the Republicans saying, no, I want to charge grandma way more for that drug.
Yeah, exactly.
That is it. They are reaching in to the greatest generation's pockets and stealing money for them under penalty and threat of death.
Yep.
End of discussion.
Who supports that? What regular person supports that? But Kyrsten Sinema doesn't. She's not doing interviews on Anderson Cooper every day. Like, yeah, no, here is why your grandma should pay more for these drugs. Anyway, some of those will now be cheaper. Now understand that a lot has been taken out. Some has been left in, a case could be made, shouldn't be. So the state and local tax deduction that there's been a lot of debate about recently is still the second costliest provision of the budget bill over 5 years. So that is taking up a big amount of that cost that effectively the sum total of what we're paying out and what we're taking in will have. By the way, that provision is why one Democrat opposed the bill, Representative Jared Golden, well, he says anyway. He said because they raised the federal tax deduction for state and local taxes, he would be opposing the bill overall. It wasn't enough to sink it, but that's where he stood on that. Also, by the way, as of Wednesday, Manchin was still saying, I've been very clear where I stand on paid leave being in the bill. So, paid leave is in the bill, by the way. I don't know if we mentioned that. 4 weeks, not 12. And we will see if any of that makes it through the Senate, but some of it is still in there. So that's
good.
Now, now that Build Back Better has passed, how is it being presented by the media? Well, look, I think there is some media that is acknowledging that this is big, bearing in mind that it's not done yet or anything like that. But still, how is the media going to present this? But while some are saying it's big, others are saying that it's big in a different way. So I went to Fox News just out of curiosity, their front page to see what they had to say. And they have it. They have a screenshot saying House approves Biden's mammoth spending package. Bill heads to Senate. So they put the 1.75 million. Apparently, it's not actually what it costs. It's slightly less than that, but. No acknowledgement there that it was supposed to be at least twice as big as that, if not three or four times bigger than that. Breitbart has a lot on it. Behemoth Build Back Better, $4.91 trillion price tag. And I know what you're thinking, wait, it isn't 4.91 trillion. And you're right, it's not, but that's a bigger number. So they're going with that. More taxes, regulations, control over you. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. And of course, they're not gonna make the case. Like all of the positive things that it'll do, there's no acknowledgement of any of that. It's just the most radical far left policy. So We have to hope that the Democrats are not only able to pass it, but also sell it, explaining why these things are so important. And by the way, they're not going to, like, conservatives are not going to see any of this. In the wake of this passing, this is what Fox was talking about: artificial Christmas trees in short supply.
This was one of my favorite graphics.
Yep, well, that's the news, according to them.
Hey, good for them, man. They're trying not to cut down trees. Build Back Better is already in there. They're trying to preserve the forests.
That is great.
I love this. Like, I saw a tweet the other day that was like, yo, here's the difference between Pete Davidson and my hero, Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan is so ripped, a man's man's man. And it's like, all right, all you men's men's defying, like, or trying to, you know, proudly declare yourself to be such, like, real dudes. You're triggered by the size of someone else's package. These guys that were looking for, like, the tiny package, we want to pass the slim package. Like, you're upset and you're mad, and I get it, that this package is bigger. And you're sad that when you ask people whether they want a big package or your tiny non-existent package, they want the big package. I'm sorry, in this case, size does matter, but don't worry. The stuff you're spending money on to compensate for your shriveled little weenies, the defense budget is $7.5 trillion over this time period. So your tiny roided wasabi pea testicles are gonna be okay. You can bury your sorrows in missiles and tanks and everything else you buy to compensate for your shriveled little dong sauce.
I'm quite uncomfortable. I will, small amendment to that. That would be the price over 10 years, assuming that the defense budget didn't go up every single year. In the end, it will be far more than that. By the way, they're also lying about what it's going to cost. CBS News tweets this: it will increase the deficit by $367 billion over 10 years. No, it won't. No, it won't. It's even kind of a lot here. The CBO put out this one saying it would increase it by 367, not counting additional revenue that may be generated by additional funding for tax enforcement. Well, what are you talking about? You're not going to count that stuff. First of all, you scored it and you said that that would save a bunch of money. This would be like me looking at the future of my, like, lifestyle and saying, man, that's going to cost me a lot of money without counting my salary. Well, no, but what are you talking about that you're not going to count that? It's just a massive, massive deception. So it is still going to increase the deficit by a little bit. You know what else will? The massive bloated military budget. Do you see a lot of headlines about that every year? No. Anyway, so there's going to be, we're not done yet. And there's also going to be a lot of dishonesty throughout this whole thing.
Before you move on, one last point. When the Republicans talk about their tax cuts, so this thing that they're complaining about with the CBO deficit judgment minus any additional revenue brought in by policies that create tax revenue. Every time Republicans argue for tax cuts, their literal argument is this will open up businesses to create more jobs and a bigger economy that will, long tail, hold on for it, wait for it, create additional revenue because of this policy for the federal government and thereby eliminate the deficit. Now, the difference in the Bush the tax cut from Trump and this one is $367 billion over 10 years. No. Trillions and trillions of dollars over 10-year span for Trump's tax cut was the deficit increase. That's already borne out, by the way.
Yeah. Okay, well, nobody in the audience is aware of this, but there is some breaking news. I know that you've all been so laser focused on what we've been saying that you didn't notice it, but we did because we multitask. So the verdict has been announced for Kyle Rittenhouse, found not guilty of all homicide and other charges for killing two people, wounding another with a gun that he never should have had. He did, from the perspective of the justice system, nothing wrong. I may be going a little bit more expansive there, but the lesson that is going to millions and millions of conservatives that believe that this guy is some combination of Captain America and Jesus, the message that is going to other people who will have to make the decision in the future: do I want to grab an assault rifle and go help remove spray paint? Is if you do it and if you end up killing someone, there's a very good chance that from the perspective of the US government, you didn't do a damn thing wrong. And so he's off. He's off. You can't question any of the decisions that he made. He didn't do anything wrong. Now, we're not surprised by this, Brett, but that's terrible. It's just terrible.
So there's two different, essentially separate and unequal versions of justice in America, right? And because it's America, part one of them is just money. So there's all different kinds of murder, manslaughter, voluntary, involuntary, all the way down. He has got away with all of that. This guy who you'll still see, I mean, yesterday I watched way too much of a Ben Shapiro question and answer session. And I don't know, at the end of the day, a lot of folks out there, they'll be saying like, you know, he's like, he tries to qualify it. I wouldn't send my kid out to do that kind of stuff. But he says that kind of stuff. But it emboldens a lot of folks to go out and do that. And even Ben Shapiro said there's no evidence that he wanted to hurt people, except for the video we have of him saying like, I would shoot that person for robbing a store. Yeah. And this is a main theme that people need to focus on because it's in the history and it's going forward. It's a trend that seems to be emboldened by this.
Yeah.
Republicans, when there's people fighting against the police, doing unjust things in America, and those people are in urban areas, they're black, brown, or like, you know, white allies or whatever. They always say like, don't ever question the police. The police are infallible. Don't ever question that authority, right? But in this situation, and with the Ahmaud Arbery case, the argument from Ben Shapiro is the same. He's like, if you think that you're right, go and do it. Question that authority. Go take a gun to a knife fight. Go take a gun to a guy who's out for a jog, and we'll find a way to defend you. And it's creating something that is just it should ring false in everyone's ears.
Yeah.
Should police, just for Republicans, should police officers be police officers? Or should everyone who has a gun be a police officer? There's something just that should be cognitive dissonance to you in terms of how we should design a society and the laws we should have.
Brett, you are asking for constants, actual principles, positions. They don't have that. It's contingent. Everything is contingent. Like, should you respect the cops? Let alone should you obey the cops? Should you respect the cops? Yeah, obviously, right? I mean, they got the flags and everything, unless the cops try to stop them from getting the Capitol, in which case they want to kill the cops. Like, it's all contingent. If you stand with the movement, the monolithic movement, then you're a great person. If you defy it in literally any way, if you criticize Donald Trump, if you vote against him in any way, if you try to stop the protesters from moving in, they all now act like Trump. Trump is known for demanding loyalty and never rewarding it. If you ever turn against him, it doesn't matter what you did. Even for decades, he will throw you under the bus. He will try to burn you to the ground. The movement now does that to people, to institutions. But yeah, I mean, look, we're going to have more of this. We had the McCloskeys, you know, like you should be threatening people who don't even care about any of your stuff. They're not interested in you. They were hoping someone would step on their property so they could shoot them. And now we're going to have more of this. Like if he was 7 years older, he'd be in Congress after this cycle, because this is all that they have and it's all that they want. People were joking on Twitter about him giving a speech at the RNC. First of all, I'm not even 100% sure that he didn't at the last one, but he definitely will at the next one, because this is what they laud. This is what a good person is. You're a dumb idiot if you laud an activist like Greta, but Kyle Rittenhouse is the best sort of American.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And to get back to, like, there's still going to be wrongful death, civil cases against this guy. Mm-hmm. And so in that situation, there is a way different standard for assuming or, you know, assigning liability to people for monetarily. And that's what I mean. Like, that's the more American one to me. It's because jury, your peers, whatever, rule of law. No. Obviously, that's wishy-washy. But the one where it's like, how much do you owe me for this? There is a lower standard. Specifically in these situations, like the kinds of things that precipitate, you know, who is responsible for the death of these people and who should be paying the consequences monetarily. I think, you know, when I talked to a prosecutor about this, who said like the only one that's close is a voluntary manslaughter charge. And the weapons charge, well, the weapons charge got thrown out because of how the law was worded, not its spirit. Saying you can have an assault rifle, but you can't have like brass knuckles.
Yeah.
In a city.
It was like a length thing or whatever. It was a very like specific thing.
It was, yeah, it was, is they have a whole completely other section for how long your rifle is. Because of course they would. But like in the part where it's like, you can't have these things in a city. They didn't say, they didn't counteract the part of that other, the other part of the law about hunting with a long gun.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, we're gonna have more on this obviously on the main show. I will say one more thing. And it's, I saw a comment before it was deleted in Twitch. And it was a person who was like laughing, like, Rittenhouse for president, suck it, lefties. And no, I'm glad that you put that message because there's a lot of people that are that same person. That person thinks that they're like incredibly independent and they're thinking outside of the box. They don't realize that their brain has been turned to worm-ridden tapioca pudding by the propaganda of the right with the goal of making millions of Americans think that all of politics, all of this debate, everything having to do with government should be like, yeah, that's the end of it. Don't expect anything. Your life is gonna suck. It'll never get better. Why won't it get better? Because you have no expectations for government and you shouldn't. You've been trained to think that the best sort of people are vigilantes who go out and shoot people. And then you should just spend all your time talking about how awesome they are and the people who defend them. And yeah, wasn't it great that like Matt Gaetz offered him a job? Will I ever own a home? Probably not. It's slipping more and more away out of you. Your wages are probably never going to improve. But yeah, Rittenhouse, isn't it great? And they don't get that all of that propaganda that has smoothed their brain into a crystal orb with no imperfections is designed to make sure that there's never any higher taxes, that the rich and corporations never pay a dime more than they do now, that no social spending is ever approved if it necessitates taxes. All of it is designed to protect the most wealthy, powerful people in the country. And the tools they use is turning people like that commenter into willing purveyors of their nonsensical emotional. I'm just gonna stick with nonsense. I'm gonna stick with that. It's nonsense and they don't realize it. They've been drafted into a war and they don't even realize what the battlefield is. They have no idea what the goals are. They just know, it feels good to say, yeah, suck it lefties. That'll help you. You're gonna have a great retirement with saying suck it lefties. You're gonna be able to pay for your prescription drugs later in life by saying suck it lefties, because that's how the world works.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
No, that's it. If I'm trying to say like there's a lesson in that, the lesson is let's give our people something to fight for that they're passionate about. There's no one on the left in power providing that rah rah sis boom bah, let's get them.
Yeah.
Message at all. There's no leader. The leader is like literally, you know, the most intestinal fortitude movement, you know, thing that he displayed lately is the fact that he's getting a colonoscopy today, like Biden. I have not seen him stand up and be like, this is what it's for. Here's the Build Back Better Act. We're making it happen. He's still got like that Senate DNA and possibly the like, there are no corporate taxes from my state DNA, where he's behind the scenes being like, Senate's dope. We're gonna have a great time in our cloakroom and talk about what deal we're gonna make. And maybe he's doing that and I'll see what happens at the end of it. But I'll always remember that a lot of what we've been fighting for, the things that get people excited on the left and just generally in the public, you need to remind them about that and that you're fighting that for them. And they just don't do it. And it's very, very frustrating.
It is. Okay, we're gonna take our first break. We're a little bit over. When we come back, we're gonna have Kevin McCarthy's very long, very bad speech. We'll have that for you and then a little bit of fun. But first, this break. Okay, thanks to that breaking news, we're a little bit behind on the rundown, but we're gonna see if we can catch up a bit. Let's jump right into this.
I can look anywhere I want, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I cannot believe the amount of control one party rule wants. They now want to dictate to a member of the floor of where I can look. Are you afraid of the basis of the information in the bill? Sir, I'm gladly to look at you, Mr. Speaker. There's a difference between addressing and looking. I know one party rule wants to control every element of our lives.
Okay, so that's what it looks like when a man with power he doesn't deserve and shouldn't have doesn't get that he's a joke, doesn't get that he has nothing, and believes that he's really doing a good job. And that was at some point during a 8.5 hour long speech designed to stop for as long as possible you getting, I don't know, like a hearing benefit or elder care or paid leave. That's all it was. And there was a lot of nonsense, and we'll get to some more of it, Brett, but I think that sums it up pretty well, that little whiny tantrum.
This is what I want. This is the filibuster America deserves. This used to be how it was. In order for you to stop legislation that, by his own admission, by saying single party rule, America wants. By the way, that's an attack on the American people. What Kevin McCarthy just did was an attack on your voice because you voted for this. And when we ask you what you want in your bills, you want this. And Kevin McCarthy is going against you, and he's standing up there for 8 hours complaining that you want what you want. Okay. And then the other thing is, you used to have to talk for 24 hours straight, 150 hours of talking throughout the whole Senate in order to delay a vote so much that, like, literally the close sign comes up. And now they have this thing called cloture, where it's like you need 60 people to just be like, if we had to speak, would you stop us from speaking or not? But they never have to do the work. I love that Kevin McCarthy had to go there for 8 hours and shout every so often so he himself wouldn't fall asleep.
Yeah, because he was as bored as everyone else.
Good God.
A little bit impressive.
He's such a weenie. I love it.
No, totally. And we'll get to the purpose of this, but we've a lot of great videos we got to get to. So there was a fun moment. You have to strain to hear it, but listen in the background of this clip.
Just a few weeks ago, Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger said, "Nobody elected Joe Biden to be FDR."
Right after he said that, AOC yelled out, very low, she's far away, "I did." And look, it's complicated. I didn't, in that I never thought he would be that, but I think a lot of people desperately hope that he will do that. That even something as now neutered as Build Back Better, let's pause very briefly. Imagine if Build Back Better did pass. It is way, way smaller than it was in ways that are really, really bad. But it's also, maybe Brett, maybe you can fill me like something I'm forgetting. I feel like in the last 21 years, if you look at what the government has done, that actually helps working Americans. There was the ACA, and then maybe this. I guess there was like the rescue plan, kind of. That was, during a pandemic. I feel like that's it, and they hate it. They hate the couple of things in our lifetime the government has done. That's a significant outflow of money that doesn't go to defense contractors. Instead, it goes to you and I. And Drew and George, I'm not saying the ACA was amazing, but I'm saying it was at least the government spending money on us for once. And they hate it. They absolutely hate it.
I definitely know for a fact that if you've been paying this much attention to politics, you know that the tagline for Joe Biden is he wants to be the next FDR. That's it. That was what he said. I'm looking at an op-ed from before this all went down, from the New York Times, from Jennifer Medina, saying Biden wanted an FDR presidency. How's he doing so far? Mm-hmm. Joe Manchin knows it. Nancy Pelosi knows it. The people know it because whether it's explicitly FDR or not, they wanted it. And compare this to the New Deal. It is teensy tiny. It is not a bunch. And it's compared to the Great Society, it is none of that. That's the other one that happened along the way.
100%. Yeah. Now look.
Nothing.
Sure. It wouldn't have been the New Deal if it hadn't been cut by more than half. And it's still gonna be cut more now, but he said, I have to stand against, McCarthy said, I have to stand against it because it's the biggest, most reckless spending bill ever. And I will promise you this, for the rest of your life, assuming he stays in politics, he will say that about literally any bill that spends money on working Americans. That's just, he's not, He's a robot. That's all it is. It's a message that he's delivering. The goal of the overall message is, please make me speaker if we take back control. Look at me, I can waste our time. That's the only thing we're supposed to do. And I thought about playing more of his speech. I decided we're gonna sum it up as quickly as possible. Here is the rest of the 8 hours and 32 minutes of his speech.
Blah, blah, blah.
Thank you. Anyway, that's all it was. Oh, like he was insane. He's talking about Abraham Lincoln. He's talking about supposed free, like he's very impressed with himself and not impressive at the same time. It is just trying out to get Trump to like him, to get them to support him as speaker. And understand, by the way, that the dark undercurrent of all this is that they're probably going to take control through the Democrats, fooling around with the power that they have and not using it, combined with gerrymandering. They almost certainly will take control. So there's a very real chance he will be the speaker in just a couple of years.
And speak he did.
That's true. I guess that is the job.
That's so bad. Let's just talk about he's this big wuss bag. He's so bad, man. Oh, Mr. Speaker, you can't tell me where to look. Thank you. And all you're thinking, like he knows he needs to speak for as long as possible. So that he can have his Mr. Smith goes to Washington moment. But like, it's amazing. Like, he can't pull it off. And he's so grateful when the speaker says, don't address that person, address the chair. It's the rule, it's the law, it's the rule of law. You guys absolutely love that stuff. And he's just, while he's angry, he's so happy that someone gave him like two more minutes of BS to say.
Let's play something a little bit more fun. Okay. While Kevin McCarthy was going on and on and on, he might still somewhere be speaking at this point. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was doing some live streaming of her reactions to it. So here's a bit of that.
Live from the cloakroom of the United States House of Representatives, one of the worst, lowest quality speeches I have ever had. Look at this, the absolute atrocious lack of privilege to witness. Kevin McCarthy speaking against unions, speaking against universal child care, and universal pre-K, child care, etc. Along with all these Agent Smiths in the background, exhibiting the stunning diversity of the Republican Party. Look at all of those different colored ties and haircuts. Not only that, but he has managed to speak for over an hour with one of the lowest vocabularies I have ever seen coming from a member of House leadership of any party. It is stunning to me how long a person can talk, knowing and exhibiting and communicating so little.
I just love the reference to the Matrix. Needless reference to the Matrix. It reminds me of most episodes of the Damage Report. There's no reason to make those references, but I appreciate it. That was funny. And look, for a lot of people, that was the only reason they could get through some of these hours was tuning into her, and we'll have some of Jamie Raskin as well doing the live commentary. Because I know who's paying attention to Kevin McCarthy. I don't think that there were millions of conservatives who were like watching C-SPAN, like eating popcorn, enraptured with what the minority leader was saying there.
They're all embarrassed. They're all embarrassed because they want Trump. That's what they want. They want to see Elvis. They don't want an Elvis impersonator. Doing like, he's doing an impression not of like Trump on The Apprentice. He's doing an impression of Trump doubled over a toilet. Like later Elvis, he's doing that impression and he can't pull it off. And I do think, and my point on this is, Kevin McCarthy is a fantastic minority leader because he represents points that a minority of Americans actually want. He's against workers' rights. The minority of people are for that. He's against negotiating prices on Medicare. Minority of people, like 20% of people, 17% of people are in favor of that. He's against paid family leave. Maybe 15% of people are in favor of that position. So he represents the minority perfectly.
I think that's a great point. Okay, let's go to a little bit more of this. You did see that there was that like the tableau of weirdos behind him. AOC is actually gonna break down some of who those individuals are.
Let's re-examine this peanut gallery right over here. Okay, ready? All right, this right here, Mike Pence's brother, also a member of Congress. I mean, you know, whatever. Okay, here we have Representative Clyde, who said that January 6th was a collection of tourists. Meanwhile, I heard that he was crying like a little baby on the day that it was happening. And I mean, look at all these folks. Again, stunning diversity in the House Republican Caucus. Yeah, I listen. And then, of course, we have their leader. So, you know, I mean.
Yeah, so I love that she pointed out, I'm sure he's hardly the only individual. She referenced his commentary about the tourists and what he was actually doing that day. Like, they were all legitimately terrified. Some of them made the mistake of mentioning that day or the day after. Nancy Mace is a great example of that. And then realized, oh wait, the position of my party is that this was actually a great thing that happened. I can't let people know that I was worried that I would be murdered. But some of them were terrified. And I like that she's willing to point that out. She was very honest about her experience and she was roasted by the right wing for daring to talk about it. So I did like that.
So good. And I love the guy next to McCarthy who pulls his mask down because he's like, oh my God, the whole reason I'm here is to raise my profile and people might not know who I am.
Yeah.
So I got to do this and like pretend to like adjust. It's like when you, pretend that it's like on purpose for a reason that has to do with like my mask needing to be readjusted. But
exactly. But they're not great actors. Okay, yeah. Very briefly, let's go to a bit of Jamie Raskin.
Are you moved by the fact that Vice President Pence's brother is sitting next to a group of people who defend the insurrectionists who were chanting, hang Mike Pence?
They really, I mean, you have Ted Cruz that the president humiliates his family and he goes to bat for him. And then you have this man, you're right, sitting next to people who were encouraging folks who literally wanted to harm his own family. I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
Okay, well, in the brother's defense, I don't think we can expect him to be more worried about his brother being killed than his brother appears to. Pence is fine with it, so I feel like his family can probably make their peace with it too. Okay, with that, I'm being yelled at by our producer. So yes, Sophie, we'll go to break. Don't worry, Brett, I'm sure you had great commentary, but we're not gonna get to it. We'll have more after this. Okay, with that, we have like 6 minutes to get through this. By the way, we're not gonna get to everything on the rundown. Thanks, Kyle Rittenhouse. It's one of the worst things you've done recently, at least. Anyway. Okay, with that, let's jump into this. Paul Gosar recently was censured by the House. It doesn't happen often. And with it came him being taken off of his committees. Now, of course, this was because he shared a doctored video showing him as one of several people murdering Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Earlier this year, Marjorie Greene also was taken off of her committees. I don't exactly remember why. Was it the calling for Speaker Pelosi to be shot, or was it the space lasers? Was it the gold star about the masks, right? It was her comparing herself to the victims of the Holocaust. I don't know, yeah. She's done a lot of bad stuff. But anyway, they're only perhaps temporarily off of those committees because recently Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, who might well be our next speaker, said they'll have committees. They may have other committee assignments. He then went a step further saying they may have better committee assignments. So not only is he saying that they will reverse what happened, but they're going to literally reward them for all of their bad behavior, the anti-Semitic comments, the threats of violence against other members of the House. He is saying, we like that so much, we're gonna give you better committee assignments. And here's what AOC had to say about this.
I would love Leader McCarthy to shout that from the rooftops. Please let him communicate to the entire country that he is deeply supportive of people who are violent towards women
and that he is deeply supportive of members and deeply accepting of members who fundraise for neo-Nazi organizations and placing them on important committees.
They're referring to, again, Gosar, and she's not wrong. Like, he is, whether he actually likes any of this, and I don't know Kevin McCarthy, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, he knows that the only way he will probably continue as a representative, and certainly the only way he'll become Speaker of the House, is if he gives a stamp of approval to all of the worst excesses of Gosar and Marjorie Greene and Boebert and Cawthorn. So, and he wants that job. He's not gonna let them lose it for him. So God only knows what their next moves are gonna be, what violent imagery they're gonna put out, what insane anti-Semitic conspiracy theories they're gonna spread. And he is going to sign on to it if he wants to make good on his political ambitions. Bart, what do you think?
It's just insane. I love the argument. There have been a lot of great arguments that shouldn't have to be made, if that makes sense. Like, so if you work anywhere else and you post that you want to kill your coworker, you made this on Tuesday, like, you get fired. And you should get fired. And I don't care that you, and Dr. Ritchie pointed out that there's like a law that no matter what you say in front on like the floor of the House of Representatives, you can't go to jail for it. He's like, it's a weird law or something like that. It was like part in passing a conversation. I love that that happened. Sure, fine. But like, these are things that if you look back through the not so distant history of the United States Congress, you'll see people losing their minds and calling for people to be removed from office because of stuff way less egregious than posting a video where they kill not only one of their colleagues in the House of Representatives, but also the president of the United States of America. And I love the double standard. And I love the concept of, I love the argument by AOC where she says, go and shout it from the rooftops. I want more people to know this. And not only that, but let's play the video of Gosar talking, because I didn't actually check in on this poll I put out. I can't tell if he's,
we don't have that video.
He's lost it, or he's on drugs, or he's just an a-hole.
Oh, but there's, you're talking about from yesterday? Yeah, there's something wrong with him.
There's something definitely wrong with this guy. And I don't like when people like put it out there to make the narrative about how this guy might have something wrong with him when he doesn't. Like, there is something very wrong with Representative Gosar. He shouldn't be on any of the committees he's on. And I love it. I want Mike McCarthy to shout more things from the rooftops. Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. This is not a winning. It's like standing. They need to say that they like Marjorie Greene and that they like Paul Gosar and Matt Gaetz. That is not a winning national strategy. Remember, people didn't like Trump. They have to do it for their thing. That doesn't mean that it works nationally. And by the way, to that double standard, let's just bear in mind, Ilhan Omar was not censured for her tweet a couple of years ago about being all about the Benjamins, but she was criticized on the House floor, saying that that was an anti-Semitic tweet. Earlier this week, Lauren Boebert called her a member of the Jihad Squad on the House floor, and that's not even a like news. Like, that is obviously Islamophobic. That is not, well, you know, it really plays into tropes. No, that's just an Islamophobic comment. She's not being censured for that. Think about how far we've devolved as a people. But anyway,
tan suit.
Yeah, exactly. The tan suit, the fist bump, the coffee. Anyway, McCarthy is behind Paul Gosar. Donald Trump is behind Paul Gosar, putting out one of his little tweet statements that says, Congressman Paul Gosar has been a loyal supporter of our America First agenda, and even more importantly, the USA. He's a congressman who's highly respected in Arizona. That's not true. Strong on crime. He even does them. He has my complete and total endorsement. And then Paul Gosar, to prove that he's a cool kid who knows he knows meme culture, he put this up on Getter. Yeah. He's cool. They're very cool people. Anyway, so that's garbage. It's just so terrible. Anyway, that is unfortunately all the time we have for first hour. So if you're on our linear platforms, thank you for watching. If you're on Twitch, YouTube, or remember Zap, we do have more coming for you. So we're gonna take a couple minute break, but don't go anywhere because there's a lot more coming up after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.